that there was a car, and told them what kind of car it was, and right away they figured it was Harry, and they rushed up there and didn't find him until the next day, till it was daylight.
What lake would that be?
I don't know.
Wells Cooley Road towards Cooley City, or?
No, no, I don't think so. It's Wells Cooley is the road, and the area is north. It's north of Wenatchee. It's not north of Chelan, because then you'd run into the Big Lake.
The Big Lake, yeah.
But I damn
it's one of those there, between Chelan and Wenatchee.
Yeah, that happened April 8th on my daughter's, April 8th, 1930. We figured it was the date of his death of the day we found him. I forget which. So then there was a depression, and so we finally closed the Wenatchee dealership out. And we even had a dealership for a while up at Ellensburg, but we did, that didn't last very long.
That was for Clefac also, plus what you were building?
Well, yeah. Well, that's a... wait a minute. In 19, we've forgotten when we became dealers for John Deere.
No, I was just going to ask you about that.
And that's when we opened the place up at Ellensburg. Clefac, we couldn't sell it. We didn't sell any of those up there. And we didn't sell very many John Deere's because the international people were the dealers.
And that was Keller, too, wasn't it?
No, I can't think who it was. It was an old time, like Bell Wyman used to be here. And pretty hard to break into. We just sold two or three GP four-wheel.
What year was it that you became associated with John Deere?
1937-38. When the GP wheel tractor first came out.
Well, that was about 34 and 35.
Was it?
Yeah.
Well, that's when we...
Yeah.
In that area, that was the time when we came out with it. Right. We first sold some Model Ds because the GPs were just barely getting into, but we'd seen the advertising and stuff, and it was something that would fit our orchards. And we sold a few of them. Yeah, it was right after Joe came out in 34 that we took on the agency.
Right, so there'd be sometime in 34.
That's right.
When did you... So you were a couple of years without a tractor.
Yes.
Between Clefac and John Deere.
Yeah, and then we had the John Deere then, and we started building... And about 1936 or 37, we put tracks on three Model Ds. They were... I think we used Caterpillar or Best 30 tracks and track frames. And one was sent back to Moline, John Deere. I'll tell you when that was. That was just before the election in 32. It was that early.
Lexington
built the Model D because Colonel Wyman took me up to his raw, cold fall day, just before the elections and
that Roosevelt came in.
Yeah.
So it was 32.
32.
Now, were you a dealer then?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. We became dealers in, I think, right after we moved into the building, 29 or 30, we became dealers, 28 or 29.
So the Colonel, that was Colonel Wyman at that time, chairman of the board, president?
He was president then. And then he went to World War II, he went back, and then when he came back again.
Yeah, Butterworth took over.
Butterworth was...
was the head of him.
Chairman of the board at that time, I think.
Before Colonel Wyman, yeah.
And yeah, then temporarily, Dick Edwards, father of the farm, fine gentleman, for heaven's sake.
I know who you mean.
Yeah.
But Colonel Wyman became a colonel in World War II.
Yeah, he adopted the name.
Yeah, yeah.
He loved that.
Wasn't he a colonel, didn't he?
Yeah, everybody called it, but yeah. old Nordy, who was the engineer up at the, and several other fellows, but Nordy, but Norden's the engineer at Dubuque, he always called him Charlie.
Well, Colonel Wyman wasn't known as Colonel in the 30s before World War II.
I didn't know him in 30 because I don't know that he was just Mr. Wyman.
Yeah, because he was Charles Deere Wyman.
Charles Deere Wyman. Yeah, I think it was World War
II. Yeah,
because he went back and was in uniform.
Yeah. Well, so many of the people
I met him in Washington D.C. by accident. I was going into the hotel; he was coming out, or vice versa.
All right. So in 1932, just before the election, you put these tracks on the Model Ds.
Yeah. on two or three of them. Three of them, I think.
And you used the best 30 track, the track frames.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to see a best 30 in beautiful shape, Bill Parrish at Top has just got one.
He has?
A beautiful best 30.
Well, I'll read that.
And, I mean, it is beautiful.
I wonder what happened to the ones that Gilbert's had. Gilbert Orchard's had one. They got one of the first.
Okay, so of the three, one went to Moline.
Yeah.
One went to Gilbert Orchard's.
No, Gilbert Orchard didn't get a Model D.
Oh.
I said they had a...
they had a best 30?
Yeah.
Oh, they had a best 30.
Yeah, they bought one after. I tried to sell them a T-track, and they bought the best 30, but I sold them a disc error to go behind it. Then one of these Model Ds went to the San Francisco branch of John Deere. They put it to work down there. I think we had one here. I know in that Lindemann book, do you have one of those, you know, that a regular, almost magazine-type book that we got out one time? Don't you have one of those?
No.
Oh, my dear boy, no. You haven't lived. Well, there's a picture in there. We had it running up to Garrettson Orchards, discing with one of these first offset disc errors behind it. So we kept one here, I guess. Then later on, the tractors are converted back to wheel tractors.
Oh, they were?
Yeah.
So the Ds, only three were made,
yeah.
and none of them are left?
No, that's right.
Now, the D had the great big rear sprocket.
Yeah.
So that's what the picture's in your picture book here.
We changed the chain. We can only change the... See, if you go to a smaller sprocket, you got to turn it faster. And that was a chain drive, and we could only go down so small on the drive pinion, or sprocket. And we did change that. We made our own sprocket and hardened it. And we did slow it down some, but we couldn't slow it down enough to bring that rear sprocket down to where like the BO is. Got the funny thing, you know, when they first built the Model M, they had their own drive pinion. They came down with a little step down housing there,
right?
And we had to make our own housings to carry our rear sprocket. And we had, and Gordy made us special diameter pinion and gear to speed this up. And the Colonel and Pat Murphy from Portland, the whole gang were going to be here for D-Day, which is like two or three. The next day, we're going to, the only place we get out in the field is down at Sunnyside. Well, what's his name? Got us out down there.
Walt Fry.
Yeah.
This would be 1947 then.
No.
For the M.
Yeah.
For the M. That was when the M
just
came.
Before they're buying the plant this time. And we took the tractor out. We got it all. So we took it out. We had the cement floor out there, and we took it and started out. The goddamn thing would go around the circle, and we couldn't figure out what in hell. And all of a sudden, it dawned on me: the pinions. John Deere used a pinion with teeth about that long. If you'll notice in the wheel tractors, the main drive off of the crankshaft to the big gear to reduce it to goes into the transmission, that they use an exceptionally long tooth, a lot of bearing wear. They had the old wheel tractor pinion in one side, and it still caught the teeth of the gear because their teeth were so long, and the new one, the faster one, on this side, and it just go around the circle. God, but until we realized what it was, we were sick, Colonel, and the whole bunch are going to be here that night. Everything is going to be hauled down there in the morning for a big show, and hear the goddamn thing go around in a circle. I hope that's not going. So anyway, that was that story. And
okay, so these Model Ds now that you put together in 32, you sent one to Moline, and they tested it. You sent one to San Francisco branch, and they put it out in agriculture. Yeah. Then you kept one here.
Yeah.
All right. Then you're saying that all three of those were converted back to wheel tractors.
Well, I think they were. I don't know what Moline did with theirs, but they brought. I know San Francisco just put the regular wheels right back on.
And what did you do here? You did the same
thing? I don't remember what we did with that one.
But nobody's got a D.
No. Then we built the GP.
And what year would that be? Had to be 34, 35?
We started, yes. Mm-hmm. And they notified, after I had the first one built, notice came through, and Cater was still at Portland.
Ben Cater, yeah, he was the branch manager of Portland.
And he, of course, he was a cousin of the Colonel's, you know. So
I didn't know that.
Oh yes, oh he's a great-grandson, just like the colonel is, of the old Charles Deere, of old John Deere. So he could throw his weight around. Oh, God, they hated him back at Waterloo, because he'd get on the phone and get Duke Grohl on the phone and just give him hell. Anyway, what the hell was I going to say there?
Well, they were just building the GPs.
Oh, and so he hurriedly told me, he said, well, they're going to be replacing the GPs with the Model A, you see. And, or the B, I forget which. No, it would be the Model A. The GP is near
both
the
both about the same, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the B hadn't come out yet, I guess.
Which was about end of 36 when they started to come out. 37, as, really.
Yeah, about 37, because Ben Cater got us the first chassis. Just the cad in particular. Get that little devil, and we built the first one. Well, anyway, then we built 26 or 27 of the GPs. And they ran very well. We had awfully good luck with it. We built our own track frames for those, and track rollers.
Cool. And what about pads and rails?
We cast the pads on those. I made the pattern myself. I was looking at one down there that Joe had for quite a while down there. You saw it down
yeah.
there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I made all the patterns for that. We cast the track links. We cast steel. And I think we had our own foundry. But no, we didn't have a foundry until the 40s. Oh, we had it at 36. Anyway, then...
Well, now, of these 26 or 27 GPs, who locally got them?
Matson Orchards, Al... Mayer, M-A-Y-E-R.
Now, where was he?
He was lived west of town. His and Suntimer, Sunny Suntimer, had two of them.
Now, that's the orchard at Lower Natchez.
Yeah.
Now, Fred Plath owns that now, or Washington Food owns that now.
Harry Price did own them. Yeah. It did happen, but evidently Fred Platt's got
it. Yeah, and they call it, I know because they call it the Suntimer Ranch.
Yeah, that's the one, yeah.
Yeah.
So he had two of them, and then an August Lepley at Wenatchee had one. And, oh, God, let's see.
Now, these were sold retail.
Yeah.
These weren't experimental or anything.
And we didn't sell them through dealers.
No. Well, of course, you were the dealer at the time, though, weren't you?
Yeah,
except
we were
for Wenatchee.
At that time. That's right. That's the reason for it.
Yeah, and you were the dealer in Yakima.
Yeah. And about a year after Art took over, well, then he started selling the B.O. Crawl.
Right.
Pat Murphy thought that we should do that, and we agreed, because we were busy building them. So,
okay, now, Gerritsen didn't have one, or Gilbert, or anybody else?
No. Congens didn't have one. God, I don't know where they held the all.
Some went to California.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Did most of them go here then?
Yeah.
Oh, so most of them went here.
Yeah.
Okay.
I cannot recall all those lists. We had all those serial numbers, everything listed, and that all went when John Deere took over, and it's all back maybe in some files someplace, but you'd never find it.
Yeah. All right, these were all sold basically in the Yakima
in the Yakima area, except the one at Wenatchee. There may have been one or two more sold out of this area, but I don't recall. Oh, I remember old August Lepley. He was a good friend of my brother Harry, you know, at Wenatchee over there. I tried to call. I finally got a hold of his granddaughter. They have one of the old Lepley ranches. Said, oh, yes, I remember grandfather talking about it. But she says, I don't know. She said, she gave me her number and said, I'll do some questioning for you and see if we can find where that went. And the best, so when she called me back, or I called her back the next day or so like that, and she said, the best I can gather is that it was traded in for another tractor, but she said, we don't remember who got it. So it's long gone, probably long scrapped. I can remember down at that scrap pile, the foundry down here, that's down there now, Bob Linden's foundry, seeing at two different times, one sitting, they had a magnet that they lift that stuff with on top of the scrap pile, a GP, And I thought, oh gosh.
Probably running too.
Sure. And I didn't even crawl up the scrap pile to take a good look at it.
Oh, that's sickening. It just is sickening.
Of course, I've got one sick anymore, but I had a 1925 Packard touring car that was old, had all the Don Lee windshields and everything in California. I bought it in Seattle. And it was just as, there wasn't a dent in it. It had the most gorgeous upholstery. It had the two wheel wells right up in the back of the front fenders. It had what they call windshield wings out here.
Right.
Then it had a tonneau windshield. This is the front seat area. Here's the back seat on this division.
It had a windshield there, yeah.
Yeah, and wings on it.
Yeah.
It had everything. I sold it for $25 in the Depression. Because it used a lot of gasoline, and we didn't have any cash. This fella came in and wanted it to run a winch with. He took that thing out in White Hollow, and I heard, well, he told me what he was going to do, took that gorgeous body off, put a winch on back on the frame, and pulled apple trees with it. You know, if you didn't have the money to spray your trees,
yeah.
The county would either, if you had money enough, the county would spray them and take a lien on your property, but if you're a renter or something like that, or if the fellow wouldn't let you do that, you had to pull the trees.
That was during the Depression, yeah. Because of the fruit flies. And,
yeah, that's
and the,
right. So that's worse than these antique tractors. That would be worth easily $100,000 today. Of course, if I'd have ever gotten $500 for it, I'd have sold it. If I'd have gotten $250, I'd have sold it. But later on, if I'd have gotten $1,000, I'd have sold you.
Yeah.
Like these people say, boy, if I'd have just held that stock.
Yeah.
Well, you're crazy to hold it. You don't know where it's going to go. If you could double your money or even add 50%, you sell the damn stuff.
Well, Smith Tractor in Tacoma, the John Deere industrial dealer, has a GP in the floor crawler. And it's been restored, and it's beautiful shape.
Is that right?
Yeah, I've got a bunch of pictures.
But
of
he
it.
Hasn't got the fenders on it.
I that think
and he, the full like
just a you second. Have, you I got pictures. Just a second.
Incidentally, you didn't see in that book. We have a picture someplace out in front of the John Deere building down there of the BO. The GP and a Model D, all standing out there with fenders and everything on them.
That's in that book, you say?
No, I don't think it's in this book.
I don't remember.
But someplace I've got it, if it hasn't been lost.
I'll have to get that.
That's all right.
I'll show you later, because okay. That's, I know they've got it. And then Bob Pierce, the used to be John Deere parts manager in Portland, has a GP
tractor?
Crawler.
He has.
Mm-hmm. He's had that for at least 15 years. And I...
That's true. If we had that damn serial number list, we could...
Find out whose those were. Yeah. 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 Well, then, you built... Why did you only build 22 or 3?
Because they were...
26
more,
or 7.
Couldn't get any more chassis. They had quit building.
Oh!
They came to an end. And that's when Ben Cater got me a... That we started talking about the Model B.
Okay, now why not the A? Which would be...
I don't know. Probably we figured it was too big for us or something. Bigger than we needed.
The GP was even bigger than you needed, wasn't it, or was it?
Yes, really.
Yeah.
But there was some reason why they were in production on the B before the A or something like that. And so he got us this B.O. chassis, that's where the name, that was a B Orchard. It meant,
right.
It meant that it had fenders on it, it was a four-wheel tractor. There was a B.R., which was B Rigger, you know.
And upright muffler and things like that, and the B.O. was the other.
Yeah.
All right, now that came out around 37. Did you start building them then?
It seems to me that we took this one out to Commons in 1940, so that could be 37 before they started building them. And I could have gotten about 38 or 30, because it ran out of Congress a year, and I think 40 or 41 is when we built the first 10, and Daniel broke our pick. You know that story.
No, that's what I want to get. All right, so the first one was about 1940.
Yes, and Congress ran it that whole season, and really, everything seemed perfect. We had incorporated, which John Deere still uses today, the steering clutch with the steering brake in one lever. Remember on the
beginning? Right.
And John Deere still using that.
Right.
And doing that, we had, we first had a, the brake drum was free to oscillate back and forth on the, over the clutch. But the clutch was metal to metal plates. But they were not.
No hard. Friction plates.
No. Metal to metal. Yeah. But they weren't hardened. We tried hardening them and they just warped. We had no means for hardening. All your plates in your automobile clutches now are metal to metal. Mm-hmm. But you've got a terrific oil pressure against that, like a cylinder this big around in effect, and the plates are hardened. Well, so it worked out there for Congens, for God's sake. So we built 10 of them. The first two that started giving trouble, and I mean we had all the credit we could get together. In fact, we owed John Deere for the motor chassis. We owed everybody for building these 10 tractors.
This would be 1941.
Whatever it was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So McMinnville, Oregon dealer called up and said, we're having troubles. Those clutches would freeze. Took us a while to figure out why. They were all side hill down there. They keep pulling that lever and inching it uphill.
Heating it up.
And these plates would rub and then seize, rub and seize. Pretty soon they, these fine, I'd just fill up that space so we had no, you couldn't open the clutches anymore. What in hell to do? But when you're up against a stone wall and somebody's got a spear in your butt, you do something. So I went up to Chevrolet and bought some friction clutches for them that they used in their regular clutch in those days. This would be 40. Dry plates. And in the same space, we had to do some changing of the casting, go in and build a spot for the throw out. We had to do a lot of things, but it wasn't too bad to incorporate. And we put about a half a dozen of those in there, and it just cured the whole thing.
You put a ceramic clutch in there, in other words.
Yeah. Not a ceramic.
What do you call it?
Like a thermoid.
Yeah.
Fiber clutch, yeah.
Fiber clutch.
Dry clutch.
Dry clutch, yeah.
Before, and the other thing was wrong too, we didn't have room for enough oil to lubricate it. We only could put in a little over a quart of oil in this gear case we had, this small gear case, so the gear damn near filled the case. If we'd had a big area of plenty of oil and could have kept oil between these places, it may not have happened, but in time we'd have been in trouble. So where we were lucky was that we didn't have 100 of them out before we found this out. And Joel would, I first fixed a setup of cases. We had to change the final drive cases, but we had some there, an extra set or two. So we got that together. We didn't have a tractor to put it on, but we figured it'd work. So he took that in a pickup, went down to McMinnville and changed one of those over, and then brought back that set that he took off, and I'd fix those up. Well, in the meantime, I think we must have had two sets. I'd have a set for him to go out again. And he ultimately, the two of them were up out in the Vancouver, Canadian area.
And what were they doing? Farming or?
Farming, yeah. Mm-hmm. And two or three over on the coast. And only two or three out around here, but they were giving no trouble because we don't have the hills.